Since we appeared after you created this cosmic manifestation, your activities are impossible for us to understand. We therefore have nothing to offer you but our humble obeisances. An inexperienced man generally does not know what to beg from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under the jurisdiction of the created material world, and no one knows what benediction to ask when praying to the Supreme Lord. People generally pray to be promoted to the heavenly planets because they have no information of Vaikuntha Loka. Srila Madhvacharya quotes the following verse, Devalokat, Pitrilokat, Nuryat Chapiyat Param Tishribhya Param Stanam Vaishnavam Nidushan Niti. That means there are different planetary systems known as the Devalok, the planets of the demigods, the Pitrilok, the planet of Pitas, and Niraya, the hellish planets. When one transcends these various planetary systems and enters Vaikuntha Loka, he achieves the ultimate resort of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas have nothing to do with the other planetary systems. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna 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 Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namane Namaste Saraswati Deva Gurumani Chai Nehi Asesa Sundari Pastya Kandishtani Yate Gatinam Tishrinam Nishitu Paramu Padam Nara Chino Visarvasya Dattara Vedamarati. So the verse discusses a certain kind of difficulty that people have. It has to do with their lack of knowledge of Vaikuntha Loka. But it also has to do, well, that has to do, their lack of knowledge has to do with being a created being. say, since we appeared after the Supreme Controller created this cosmic manifestation, his activities are impossible for us to understand. Prabhupada says this is the situation of the inexperienced person, where we don't have full experience. Only the Datta, the Supreme Controller, has full experience. He is existing before the cosmic manifestation, and he creates it, he maintains it, and annihilates it. And we're somehow appearing in that creation. And from the Vedic literature, people hear about the higher planets and the demigods, and also they hear about the planets of the Pitas, their forefathers. And so they pray to go to those places, and they pray to avoid the hellish planets also. But the Vaishnava ultimately wants to go out of this created world with its higher and lower and middle planets to the abode of the Lord Vaikuntha. There's also a verse before this which doesn't have a purport, which I'll now read. Sri Deva Uchu Namaste Jagya Miryaya. That means obeisances unto the personality of Godhead who is able to give the results of sacrifice. It continues. You are also the time factor that destroys all such results of sacrifice in due course. You are the one who releases the chakra to kill the demons, O Lord, who possesses many varieties of names. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So the yajna usually is a fire sacrifice, but not in this age. In this age we chant Hare Krishna as the yajna to worship the personality of Godhead. But here the demigods, in an earlier time, they're referring to the Lord as the yajna virya, the one who gives the results of sacrifice, and also ends those results. This refers to the fact that people are praying for elevation to the higher planets. They don't know about Vaikuntha so much. They know there's some supreme controller, that there's higher planets. And they know that through sacrifice, the Lord can elevate them. If the Lord is pleased, he'll elevate them to higher planets. But when their piety, which has enabled them to go upward, when that piety runs out, their pious credits run out, then the Lord also causes them to go back down. But he plays a role in this as the sacrificial fire. The fire in the ritualistic sacrifice represents Vishnu. And he helps the person who is performing the sacrifice. He elevates the performer of the sacrifice to a higher planet in his next life. To Svargalok. Svarga means the heavenly abode. So the demigods have this kind of knowledge. They're in fact already in the Svarga. So they've had some experience that they've been elevated, perhaps. Some of them have been elevated to these higher planets. There's an expression here that you are the one, they're addressing the Lord, you are the one who releases the chakra to kill the demons. There's an instance of this in the Lord's pastimes in the 10th canto, when he's blasphemed by Shishupal. The Lord throws his chakra to behead Shishupal. And this is similar to what happens in this canto, in the 6th canto, in this pastime, when the King of Heaven, Indra, uses his thunderbolt weapon to behead Vritrasura. The demigods here also say that the Lord possesses many varieties of names. Pura Uttaye. When I looked at this yesterday, I began to think about what to talk about in class. I noticed these words, Pura Uttaye, and I used the Veda base to find out more about these words, Pura Uttaye, which mean having varieties of transcendental names. So I found this word puru. Puru means greatly or highly. It is a form of adding emphasis, like we sometimes use the word very. It's that kind of a word, very or highly or greatly. You find it in these kinds of expressions. Puru, shakti, greatly powerful, love, shakti. Puru kripaya, puru dayane, means very merciful. Puru dakshina means someone who is very expert at giving charity. Puru guna means fully qualified, all the qualities that a great person has. Then punya means greatly pious. So, someone who has great piety, he can be elevated to the heavenly planets, we mentioned. So, supura huttaye, having varieties of transcendental names. So, one of these names is given in this verse, or ashta chakraya, the Lord who throws the disc, the demigod is saying. But the same idea, expressing that the Lord has many names, it's also in another canto I found in the 8th canto. Swayambhuva Manu was performing austerity, and he was praying to the Lord at the same time. And he used the same expression, Purahuta. The Lord is known by many names. The Absolute Truth has millions of names. years past that, Prabhupada said. So I've discussed a little bit already in the Lord being competent to give the results of sacrifices. We talked about that meaning elevation to the heavenly planets. But there's another example that devotees are more interested in, of the Lord giving results of sacrifice. I found one in the third canto of Karma Muni, in his hermitage. He was doing sacrifices by lighting a fire. And when you do that, then you offer oblations into the fire, you offer grains and ghee. And Bhagavatam describes him as shining brilliantly, his body having effulgence. Although he had done a lot of penance for a very long time. But he wasn't thin, and he wasn't looking emaciated, because the Lord had actually appeared, and the Lord had glanced upon him. The Lord came to him in the form of Vishnu on Garuda. And the Lord spoke to him. So Bhagavatam says this was like getting nectar from the words of the Lord. The Lord's words are like the full moon. The words are, you can imagine, it's, Bhagavatam is very poetic, so if you hear them make a comparison between the full moon and the words of the Lord. And the light from the full moon, it's like a nectar, which gives one deathlessness, gives one the light of Krishna consciousness. So that's Karma Muni getting the results of sacrifice by seeing Vishnu. He was a good brahmachari. This was just before he got married that he was doing these sacrifices. He later got married to Devamukti. Karma did. He would do these sacrifices in the morning, and Prabhupada in the purport writes that the brahmachari who wants to engage in sacrifice, he has to do this early. He cannot sleep until 7 or 9 o'clock, Prabhupada wrote, or he spoke in a lecture. I'm not sure. It was a purported lecture. But he says at least an hour and a half before the sun rises, he offers oblations into the fire. But in this age, chanting the holy name, of course, is the sacrifice that we perform. I've been in somebody's house over the months in this home of an Indian man, and in the porch of his house, he had it set up for fire sacrifice. He was still, you know, remembering how his grandfather and father had done fire sacrifices. He was also sometimes doing fire sacrifice. So we're teaching this, same thing, sacrifice to Vishnu, but our sacrifice is genuine. But it still holds that someone should get up early and offer these oblations early in the morning, not sleep till 7 or 9 o'clock. This morning I happened to be in the shower room at 7 o'clock, and the brahmachari shower room has 6 showers, and all of them were in use, and there were 2 or 3 people waiting, so that means everybody out there was a little late. But let's go deeper into this. The understanding of the Lord's glories. This second verse that we're studying today says that we all appeared after the creation of this cosmic manifestation. So what does that mean about the Lord? They said, your activities are impossible for us to understand. The Lord has so much power that nobody can estimate or calculate his influence. Before any of us appeared in this little temporary life that we're living now, the whole creation had been manifested by the power of the Lord. And because the Lord is outside the scope of creation, He's not influenced in any way by this external nature that he creates, which is a pollution, actually. The external nature is sometimes referred to as a polluted condition. One gets caught in the external energy of a body, and that's created and annihilated. It's not the natural, pure condition. So persons who are in that energy, caught in that energy, they're sometimes referred to as diseased or even as criminals, because they have the mentality of lording it over the external nature, using the external nature to become the Lord, somehow become the Lord, the more powerful. And the demigods say that because of these activities, people are then in their next lives going to reach different destinations. And the heavenly planets, so you go up to those, or you remain in the middle, or you become degraded and you go down. So let's discuss that for a few minutes. First of all, for the Vaishnava, the human life means that we can create a situation by our activities so that when we leave this body and have to accept another body, we'll get a body like Krishna. We'll get out of the world. We're learning, of course, that we're going to get another body, that's for sure. We didn't know that, probably, before we came in touch with Srila Prabhupada's teachings. The Prabhupada is always telling us in his teachings, you're going to get another body. And he cites Krishna's authority. Krishna says, Dehi nasmin yata dehi kumar yoganam chara. Even in this life, we're getting different bodies. We start out with a baby's body, and then we get a little child's body. And then soon we have an adult body. And like that, it becomes old. And then we change bodies. So the knowledgeable person, the person who's sober, he's called Dhira. He's not surprised, because he sees that it happens even in this life. So why should it be surprising that we get another body at the time of death? And here in the verse, what kind of body we're going to get, that's being discussed by the demigod. Prabhupada used an analogy. Sometimes we go to the airport to drop off a friend. We go along in the car and we drop the friend off at the airport. So he's going to go to some other place by plane. He has a ticket. And you know that the ticket says he's going to go to the specific place. So his destination is already decided. So if you know the indicators, you know, if you look at the ticket and you look at the airplane, you can know. So in the same way, Prabhupada said, we can know where another person's going at the time of death. Whether he'll go up, or down, or stay in the middle. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 14th chapter, Krishna says, from the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. Those situated in the mode of goodness go upward. From the mode of passion, greed develops. Those in passion live on the earthly planets. And from the mode of ignorance develops foolishness, madness, and illusion. And they go down to hellish worlds or animal species. So going up is a promotion. Purvam means up, and gachanti means go. Purvam gachanti, if you're situated in Satyam, maybe you'll live with Purvam. The higher planets start with the sun and the moon. And they include Janalok, Tapalok, Mahalok, Satyalok, Pramalok. So if you practice goodness, then maybe you'll meet up with Brahma. He was the first one to have Vedic knowledge. Bhagavatam says that Krishna gave him the Vedic knowledge at the beginning of creation from within his heart. Tani Brahma Hridayadi Kavare. Brahma's body was born from the transcendental body of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And nobody sees Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. None of the demigods even see Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. He's not manifest within this universe. But this whole creation is a separated energy. So it's quite a mystery to the demigods. Even they are in this position that they say here, we appeared after you created this present manifestation. Then your activities are impossible for us to understand. So that's the mode of goodness. In the mode of passion, you remain in the middle planetary system and you pursue the project of becoming the lord of the material energy. You want to become a king or a leader, like a politician. Consider nowadays the leaders of the world. You're all familiar with some of the leaders in the world. How did they get in that position? Well, it's partly their karma. It's the mode of passion, and they want that very much. They're very greedy. They want to be the boss. So they compete to be rich or to be influential or to be famous. Recently there was a survey conducted among people who were 18 years old to 32 years old, the young people. And the question that was asked was, would you want to be the boss of the organization that you work for? So do you want to guess?
No.
What percentage of the people said they want to be the boss?
100.
100? No, you're too high.
20, 10.
Huh?
10, 20.
No, no. 60 to 70% of the ladies and the men, 18 to 32 years old, would like to be the boss. So you can ask yourself, do I want to be the boss in Radhakrishna? Do I want to be a boss serving Krishna? You know, many people are working now for tech companies like, you know, they have high-tech companies like Google. And they're famous because, you know, they have such so many benefits for the people that work there. You get free food if you work at Google, you get free haircuts. You don't have to. They have this mobile haircutting truck. Some business comes to the Google campus and they park out in the street and then you go out into the trailer and you get your haircut and really save time. You don't have to. So they provide medical care, recreation. And then, of course, if you're in the mode of ignorance, you go down, atha, gacchanti, maybe into lower species. Maybe you meet Yamaraj. It's just like going to the court. If you're caught in a crime, then you have to go to the magistrate, and he decides on your punishment. But the 11th canto says something interesting. Krishna explains to Uddhava the varieties of activities and other factors that result in how we're influenced by the modes of nature. This is a short list, I'll read it. Agama means what shastras we hear. If we're just interested in New Age books on spiritual life, you know, that might take us only to a preliminary level. But if we're interested in higher shastras, then maybe we'll develop goodness and become transcendental. Appa, the water we drink and the type of foods we eat, that has an influence on us. Different foods lead different modes of nature. If we drink liquor, we're in total ignorance. Huh? Desha, where we live, the countryside is considered to be a mode of goodness, city, the mode of passion. Kala, the time of day, what we do at different times of the day. If we're sleeping in the morning, that's the mode of ignorance. But if we're awake early in the morning, that's the mode of goodness. Prabhupada said we can just teach people to be early risers, then in their next life they'll again, you know, get a good opportunity for spiritual life. The mode of goodness leads to another human life. Praja, our association. If we associate with a lot of people who are in the mode of ignorance, who are performing degraded activities, we'll develop that mentality and go down. The mantras we chant are conditioning from birth, our activities, karma, janma, janma karma, shanidhyam. Krishna's activities and birth are transcendental. So Krishna says, if you know my birth activities, if you devote your whole life to knowing about Krishna's transcendental birth and activities, you won't get another body when you leave this body. So that's the best offer. Other things that influence us, you know, the modes of nature, dhyana, our thoughts, and the samskaras, the ceremonies we undergo, what kind of marriage we have, what kind, and so on. But people are sometimes thinking, a lot of people think, I'm independent, I'm not, you know, these measures don't apply to me, I can do what I want. And nobody's going to judge me, there's not going to be another life. So many people think like that. And Prabhupada, I was talking about this, and said, you can be falsely proud. As long as you have this body, you can say, well, you know, I'm the enjoyer, and you know, no one can stop me from enjoying it. I don't have to worry. But as soon as the body's finished, then you're completely under the control of nature again. Krishna said, prakriti kriyamani, guna karmani, sarvash. You're thinking ahankar in terms of your false ego in your position in this world. You're thinking, I can do what I want. Whatever I like, I can do. But Prabhupada said, no, the point is to understand this life is preparation for the next life. You can prepare. It's in your hands. You should prepare. Don't just live like an animal. Use your intelligence. So that theme is there. And then the Vaishnavas, the advanced Vaishnavas, sometimes for our benefit, they put themselves in the position of a person who misuses his human life. Narottama Das Thakur sings, Hari Hari Vipade Jan Gunayan. My Lord has simply wasted my life. This human life is meant for Radha Krishna, Bhajiya, and I didn't use my life for that. Janiyashvriya Vishal Kaina. I knowingly took poison. I knowingly associated with worldly people and performed many activities in the modes of passion. Srila Prabhupada said that was his favorite bhajan. He told Jamuna Devi when she asked him, my Lord, I misused my life. I knowingly took poison. Any comments? No questions.
Ние искаме да изкрием Деви Банашинтама. I was wondering, because Bhaktisiddhanta explained that Hinduism is Asurita Vanashandama.
What is?
Asurita Vanashandama. Bhaktisiddhanta said Hinduism.
Again?
Hinduism.
Hinduism. Hinduism.
Hinduism. Hinduism, okay.
Is Asurita Vanashandama. So I was wondering how it is, why it's qualified as a Asurita Vanashandama.
You're wondering why Bhaktisiddhanta, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta, classified Hinduism?
Yeah, as a Asuri
Vanashram.
As opposed to Daivi Vanashram.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Hinduism, sometimes the Varna, called the Varnashram system, it means these orders of life, the four orders of social and four orders of spiritual life. And unless that's properly directed by the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, it becomes a caste system. People forget about satisfying Vishnu. The whole purpose of Varnashram is to satisfy Vishnu. But unless the whole civilization is properly directed, people just live with another bodily concept. I'm a Shudra, I'm a Vaishya. And they forget about Vishnu. So then it's not Daivi Vanashram, then it's just Hinduism or caste system. And he had a lot of experience in India, of course. He was surrounded by persons who didn't live up to their classification. The system has worn out, you could say. And so people are thinking, I'm a Brahmin because I was born in a Brahmin family. But I don't do the activities. I'm a Brahmin. I don't understand. I don't have the knowledge of a Brahmin. And we're in the same boat. You know, we have to, we're designated as devotees, we're designated as, some of us are Brahmins. So we have different designations that we're learning. And at the same time, we're trying to be transcendental and serve Krishna. So there's always this healthy tension where we have challenges. We have to act up to certain expectations of the Daivi Varnashram system. Otherwise, you know, we'll not be transcendental. Okay? Is it answering your question? No? Yes?
Thank you for your wonderful lecture. I just wonder, I was thinking about Krishna, he's the supreme enjoyer.
Yeah.
But in Bhagavad Gita 4.14, then he's explaining that he's not interested in fruitive results. So, but at the same time, we as devotees, we offer, like, let's say we cook something for Krishna, it's like material, and then we offer it to Krishna. It seems like he's enjoying matter, but what
does it mean that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer when he says that he doesn't have any inclination to enjoy fruitive activities? So that's discussed in Bhagavad Gita. And we're offering to Krishna. Is he accepting something from the external energy, or what's going on? Srila Prabhupada was talking sometimes about Krishna appearing in sacrifices to award the performer of the sacrifice, or appearing as the deity in the temple. And he says this is done for the benefit of the performer, not that Krishna needs to enjoy the sacrifice or needs to enjoy your offering. He has many goddesses of fortune who can offer him foodstuffs. But he does this for the benefit of the person who is approaching him. Not that he has to get something. He's not like, you know, a businessman who sets up the yagyas so that he can get and enjoy the things that are offered.
His senses are spiritual.
Louder, please.
His senses are spiritual.
His senses are spiritual.
Yes, yeah, so, and then if he enjoys the...
How does he enjoy them? Something that is apparently from his external energy. Well, for Krishna, the external energy and the internal energy, that's not a distinction for him. Because the external energy doesn't act in the same way on Krishna that it acts on us. When Krishna appears in the world, he's not affected by the external energy. And neither is, you know, are his senses affected if he accepts the offerings of his devotees, the devotees who are in the external energy. His eating is transcendental, so he can eat just with any of his senses. He can hear the prayers of the devotee and consume the offering and taste the offering that way. Or by his glance, the devotee can glance in the prasadam and taste and accept the offering. With any of his senses, he can do that. Sometimes he eats the offering. We read in Chaitanya Chaitamrita. Sometimes he would eat the offering, it would be missing from the plate. Manasachi found the plate empty. It's understood that Lord Chaitanya was eating although he was in Puri. So it's difficult to understand how the Lord acts because he's beyond the jurisdiction of the external energy. But he can interact with that energy as he does. Stop there, thank you very much, Krishna. Always true.